Good morning and welcome. Good to see everybody here. I hope you will take a Bible out and follow along. Make certain that all is said is according to God's Word. Dennis, thank you for sharing about your family. Amy, if you're online and watching, know that you have our prayers and our earnest desire for your health. We're going to look in John chapter 12 here for a second. This is just before the Passover, just before the institution of the Lord's Supper. The moment is coming, the time is coming for the end of Jesus' life. And for Jesus, there's a pivotal moment. And I don't know precisely why this is the case, but Jesus understood this was the sign, this was the indication that the time had come. And it was when some Gentiles, some Greeks, come up and say, "We wish to see Jesus." And then it goes through this line. It says, they said that to Philip, and Philip goes get Andrew, and then Andrew and Philip come to Jesus. And when Jesus hears that, that's when he says the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. But what a pivotal moment it is for people to come and say, you know what I really want in life? I want to see Jesus. And it was the same thing that occurred in Matthew chapter 2 and verse 1 through 2 when it's the Magi who are coming this great distance. They're from the east. I don't know how far east, but they have walked this great distance because they know the king has been born. And they're coming just to see a baby. They say, we want to see the baby. We want to see him because this is history. This is the most important place we could be, the most important person we could ever meet. And it is very similar to what Zacchaeus does in Luke chapter 19, verses 2 through 4, where Zacchaeus, this short little guy, hears that Jesus is coming and he wants to see Jesus. And so he runs ahead of the crowd, full grown man, running, climbing a tree, all so that he can see Jesus. And my question, and I recognize it's hypothetical, but it is, what would you do to see Jesus today? What if Jesus was on earth right now? What would you do? If we found out that Jesus was going to be in Colorado in the coming weeks, and I say Jesus would never do this, but for the purpose of our illustration, tickets are being sold to see Jesus. Would you camp out for a week so that you made sure you got those tickets? Would you look at the price of the tickets and say, "Ah, no, that's too much money for me to go and see Jesus"? But what if he wasn't coming to Denver? What if he was going to New York? Now it's further away. Would you pack up everything so that you could go across the country so that you could see Jesus, the Son of God? Or what if he wasn't in New York, but he was overseas? Would you get your passport? What if he's not just overseas? What if he's in Iran? What if he's in a country that you're not comfortable going to, but it's the Son of God? Would you make the effort? And I think inwardly, all of us know the answer. We want to be the case. We want to say that if Jesus was on earth, I would make the journey, however long, how costly, whatever it took, I would go see Jesus. And if we understand that concept, that that's what we should do, then why is it hypothetical? Why not make that effort to see Jesus now? Because we all will. Jesus talks about this in Luke chapter 11. Turn with me, Luke chapter 11. There's a parallel account to this. It's in Matthew chapter 12. What it does is it adds one little thing to this. And in Matthew 12, verse 38, it adds the fact that there were the scribes and the Pharisees, and they asked Jesus, "We want to see signs. We want to see some miracles. We want to see something special from you." And that leads to this discussion in Matthew, also in Luke. Luke chapter 11, starting verse 29. As the crowds were increasing, he began to say to them, "This generation is a wicked generation. It seeks for a sign, and yet no sign will be given to it but the sign of Jonah. For just as Jonah became a sign to the Ninevites, so will the Son of Man be to this generation. The Queen of the South will rise up with the men of this generation at the judgment and condemn them, because she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, something greater than Solomon is here. You know, getting past for a moment that they were looking for the wrong thing, there were lots of people who never did see Jesus. They heard about him. Maybe they wanted to see him. But there were lots of people who never did see Jesus. And Jesus is really challenging that, saying, look, there was a long time ago, this Queen of the South. When he says that, we're talking about somebody who is a long ways away from the promised land. In a time without planes, in a time without cars. But she heard about the wisest man on earth, and she said, I've got to see that. And she packed everything up and went to go see Solomon, the man with wisdom from God. And Jesus is saying, look, on the day of judgment, she's going to condemn you guys because she went so far to see Solomon, and you guys haven't, to see the Son of God. Something, someone greater than Solomon is here. How much effort should you make? Now, that's where it starts, and that really gets this idea to us, is that we really should have this principle within us that says, I'll do whatever it takes to see Jesus. But that's not all Jesus said there. Jesus didn't say to come see the miracles. You see, they were already coming to see miracles, and Jesus is talking to the people that are there. And he's saying the Queen of the South will condemn them, even though they've made the journey, because they've come for the wrong reason. They came to see signs. And he says the Queen of the South came not to see the wealth of Solomon, not to see his great power, but to hear his wisdom. And something greater than Solomon is here. It is his message that was greater. It is that message you hold right now. That message that has been recorded for us in the Bible, and yet we have so much difficulty to find any time to open it up and read it. How strongly we should seek for these words. Look what happens in the next verse. Verse 32. The men of Nineveh will stand up with this generation at the judgment and condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And behold, something greater than Jonah is here. And now all of a sudden, it's not about the people of Nineveh going the great distance, but it's the fact that they heard the great message and responded to it. What we're being told here is not just seek Jesus, but seek to listen to Jesus. And not just seek to listen to Jesus, but seek to respond, to repent, to change our lives, to get it aligned with him. There's another passage in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 28. You see, the thing is that we're all going to see Jesus. The question is, what's that going to be like? Some people seek Jesus, and when they see him, they will be rejoicing. And some do not seek Jesus, and when they see him, they will be filled with dread. And so he says in 1 John 2 and verse 28, now little children, abide in him, so that when he appears, we may have confidence and not shrink away from him in shame at his coming. There are going to be people that when Jesus comes, they're going to be shocked to find out he was real. He's alive. He's king. He's master. I was wrong. And they will regret their whole life at that moment. All of their decisions. And John is urging us, don't be like that. Live in such a way that when Jesus appears, we rejoice. Not hide, not regret, and not be filled with shame. The theme for this year is live for Christ. And for this month, what I'm focusing on is living to see Jesus. Living for Christ means to live to see him. And I'm not going to take the time, as I've done in the previous 10 months, I'm not going to take the time to go back and review everything that we've talked about. Next month should be, Lord willing, the last month for the theme of this year, and we'll do some review there. But right now, I just want us to keep this in mind. This is part of our theme, living for Christ. And it means that every day, that PDFS, that passionate, daily, focused, selfless approach is on, I want to see Him. And what does it mean to want to see Jesus? Well, it means, first of all, if we're living to see Jesus, it means that we're living for judgment. As it turns out, when we see Jesus, that's going to be the time of judgment. It says in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10 that we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. He goes on in that verse explaining why we're going to do that, what's going to happen there. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may be recompensed for his deeds in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. We're going to give an answer for what we've done. You want to live for Jesus? Live with each moment and each decision thinking, how's this going to impact what I'm like when I see Jesus? Am I going to have to try to explain away this action? Or will it be something where I'm not ashamed? I'm not ashamed for Jesus to talk about what I just decided to do. Living every moment like that. Jesus describes in Matthew 7, verse 32 and 33, in the Sermon on the Mount as it's coming to an end. Well, if you look for that verse, you're really going to struggle because I meant 21 through 23, and that's not even close. So anyway, in Matthew 7, verse 21, it says, not everyone who says to, and get this was challenging for them, not everyone who says to me. Jesus is telling them, you guys are going to talk to me. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your names, and in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. We are going to stand before Jesus. Live like it. Every day, every moment, every decision. If you look back at what we had in 1 John chapter 2, it is Jesus returning, and some are going to be confident, and some are going to be ashamed and fleeing. And his solution there, notice what he says in verse 28, now little children, abide in him. Stay constantly in him. Or in verse 29, if you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone also who practices righteousness is born of him. How do we abide in him? How do we maintain this good relationship with him? And it is, he is righteous, so be righteous. Every day, every decision, every moment, living for judgment. And since we do not know when we will see Jesus, since we do not know when he will return or when we will die, we must then be prepared at all times. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 1 through 2, what this means is that you can't take the weekdays off. You can't take certain times of our life off. Because we don't know when he's returning. In verse 1 of 1 Thessalonians 5, now is the times and the epochs, brethren. You have no need of anyone, of anything to be written to you, for you yourselves know full well that the day of the Lord will come just like a thief in the night. Nobody's going to tell us accurately, it's today. We don't know. And so we always have to be prepared. Jesus himself gave us a picture of this in Matthew chapter 24. And it's a picture of the master going away and giving us work to do. And this is so accurate. Jesus has left to be in heaven, and he has given us work to do, things he wants us to be busy about. And the question is how we respond. And so Matthew 24, starting in verse 45, who then is the faithful and sensible slave whom his master put in charge of his household to give them their food at the proper time? Blessed is that slave whom his master finds so doing when he comes. Truly I say to you that he will put him in charge of all his possessions. But if that evil slave says in his heart, my master is not coming for a long time, and begins to beat his fellow slaves and eat and drink with drunkards, the master of that slave will come on a day when he does not expect, and an hour which he does not know, and will cut him in pieces and assign him a place with the hypocrites. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Since we don't know when we're going to see Jesus, we always have to be prepared to see Jesus. And that's normally what we think about. But I submit to you that while all of that is very true, that's not the totality of what Scripture means when it says live to see Jesus. Because as much as I truly am, I mean, it is a dream. It is beyond a dream. It is beyond anything I could hope for to hear these words. Well done, good and faithful servant. There is nothing more that I could want in life than to hear the Son of God say, well done, good and faithful servant. But I'll tell you this, I'm excited about that. I'm not so excited about judgment. I'm not so excited about having all of my life, all of my thoughts, all of my actions laid bare and having to give an answer for it. I am thankful for the grace of God and the mercy and the relationship with Jesus that gives us confidence that there's the next step, which is well done, good and faithful servant. But that first part, I'm not excited about that. But the return of Jesus, we're supposed to be excited about. It's not just judgment. It's Jesus. And those are not the same thing. Judgment and Jesus are not the same thing. What we're supposed to have is an anticipation, an excitement. I'm looking forward to that moment, that time I get to see Jesus. And 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 7, and we're going to pick up a little bit before that. If you're familiar with 1 Corinthians, you know this is not... These are not the most righteous people in the world. They have all sorts of struggles. But the first part of the book, the first part of that first chapter, is pretty encouraging. In verse 4, he says, I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God which was given you in Christ Jesus, that in everything you were enriched in him in all speech and all knowledge, even as the testimony concerning Christ was confirmed in you, so that you are not lacking in any gift, awaiting eagerly the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ, who also will confirm you to the end, blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. He is saying here that the salvation that Jesus has offered us, that we have received and accepted and have believed in, is there so that we will eagerly await Jesus. So we become Christians and now we're excited. I want to see him. To see the Son of God who would sacrifice himself for my sake. I want to see the one who has cared for me and my family, who has done this for us. In Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20, people that had this citizenship, the greatest citizenship of the time, was the Roman citizenship. It gave them more rights and more power than any other citizenship on earth. But there was a greater citizenship. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's more than just judgment. It's Jesus. I can't wait to see Jesus. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, you're now talking about new Christians. They'd only been Christians for a few months. Before that, they'd either been Jews or they had been pagans. In this context, he's talking about people that had been a completely different religion, pagans, worshiping all these other gods. And he says in verse 9, for they themselves report about us what kind of a reception we had with you, and how you turned to God from the idols to serve a living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, that is Jesus, who rescues us from the wrath to come. And as our understanding as we continue on in 1 Thessalonians is, they waited so excitedly that they quit working. And he says, no, you should keep working. But as you work, you ought to be excitedly waiting. When Jesus returns, it should not be a, oh yeah, I forgot that could happen today. It should be a, finally. Everything I've been waiting for. Finally, here he is. In Titus chapter 2 and verse 13. I want you to start in verse 11. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men. So here is grace from God for everybody, and here's what it's for. Here's what it does. Instructing us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires and to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Christ Jesus, who gave himself for us to redeem us from every lawless deed and to purify for himself a people for his own possession, zealous for good deeds. We get this one concept that Jesus died to save us and to change us. That's all very true. Jesus died to save us, to give us forgiveness of sins. Jesus died to change us so that we would no longer live in sin, but he also died so that we would then be looking for him. We're looking for this blessed hope. We're looking for him to return. Living for Christ means to live looking for him, looking for the day we see him. And so it's not about judgment, it's about Jesus, which means it's really about relationship. Again, what was it in 1 John 2 and verse 28? Little children, abide with him. It's not just a constant, it's a constant relationship. Truth be told, I don't get very excited about people. Bonnie and I were in Ireland, and the president was there, the President Barack Obama, who, by the way, I don't care what your political views are about him, he was the first black American president. He was historical. And we happened to be in Ireland at the same time he was, and the people were saying, are you here to see your president? And we're like, no. And they were lining the streets and getting in our way. We couldn't even get to half the city because the president had come. But we weren't there to see him. There was a time when the Pope came to Denver and people were saying, you going to go see the Pope? I'm like, I'm not Catholic. I don't care about him. I'm not going to go see the Pope. I don't particularly like crowds. If I see a celebrity, I leave him alone. I don't do this, but I do for my family. If family's in town, I go up to Denver to go see him. Jesus is family. In John 15 and verse 14, Jesus says, you are my friends if you keep my commandments. He's our friend, and I'll go out of my way to see friends. I get excited about that. When a real friend is coming into town, I don't say, oh, wow, that's really inconvenient. I'm excited about that. Or in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 11, oh, how this can be. The Son of God has come on earth, not as this spiritual being, but as a man. And so he is not ashamed to call us brothers, brethren. Jesus is family. And the reason why we're supposed to be excited to see Jesus is because he's family, because he's our friend, because of the relationship we are supposed to have with him and maintain with him. And then just be excited one day, maybe today, I will get to see him. Thing about family, it's kind of like with parents. There's a cute picture of my niece, face pressed against the glass door, looking to see when dad was going to come home. That's the picture we're supposed to have here. Of course, I know that when she gets older, and one of those days when mom says, you just wait until dad gets home, her face will not be pressed against the glass window. Judgment, we're not excited about. And we're not going to be excited to see Jesus if we have broken our relationship with him, if he hasn't been important to us. But if he's our everything, that's the greatest moment ever. It's the one we live for. And if that's the case, then we make those sacrifices and we make him our priority. Living to see Jesus means I will sacrifice everything. Things have changed in my life, and so young people, you probably won't understand this, but there used to be something called a line. And what it was when people wanted to go see a movie, they would get in line. I know you just get on the internet. But they would get in line, And they would get in line a long, long time. And I guess the closest thing I've seen in recent years is when the new iPhone is coming out and people get in line for that because they want to be the first one. I have never seen the news go interview that first person and they say, oh, I had to quit work to do this. I've never seen them regret any of the consequences, any of the sacrifices. This is their priority and they're showing it to be the case. If Jesus is our priority, we don't look and say, well, I had to give up this relationship. I had to give up this fun thing that I enjoyed doing. We don't look at it that way. We say, I gave up everything because this is what matters most. Look what Jesus said in John chapter 12. So we started off here, John 12 and verse 20. This is where some Greeks among those who were going up to worship at the feast, these then came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida of Galilee, and began to ask him, saying, sir, we wish to see Jesus. Now that's going to lead Jesus into a discussion. One is, it is time. He says, now's the time for the Son of Man to be glorified. Now's the time for the sacrifice. But look what else he says in verse 25. In this context, sirs, we wish to see Jesus. He who loves his life loses it. And he who hates his life in this world will keep it to eternal life. If anyone serves me, he must follow me. And where I am, there my servant will also be. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. Living to see Jesus means I'll sacrifice anything. Anything to make him happy. Anything to make it to where when I see him, my relationship with him is fantastic. And I can be excited and not ashamed. Brothers and sisters, let us live to see Jesus every day, every moment, every decision. Are you living to see him? Or has your life become distracted with some different purpose? Whatever that purpose is, it may seem so incredibly important to you right now, but when Jesus appears, it'll just be regret and you will just have shame. We encourage you to become Christians, to come into this relationship with Jesus, adopted into this great family, having your sins all washed away, having a hope of eternal life, knowing that Jesus will return, and now you're ready. We encourage you to get ready right now. If you believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, why not become a Christian? Why not be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of your sins? We have front row available. As we sing, you can come forward and you can tell us. If you're downstairs, don't let that stop you. Come up. Come up here. Take a front seat while we sing. We'll hear your confession and you'll be baptized into Jesus this hour. If you're a Christian and you have fallen away, come back. Live for him, not for sin. Live for him, not for yourself. Won't you come as we stand and as we sing?